broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com, our websites. We have two gentlemen riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Sheriff Richard Mack with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. CSPOA.org. And the good sheriff right now is on the road in Yakima. Is that what they say?
Yeah, I think that's how they say it.
Yakima, Washington. All right. And the good sheriff is speaking and telling the tale of liberty and the importance of the county sheriff, America's last hope, and the whole bit there. In conjunction with sheriffs and other people to educate and help people understand the importance of the checks and balances and the proper role and jurisdictions that make this country great in the first place. We also have Eldon Stahl on the radio with us. He is the new field coordinator for the JBS, that is the John Birch Society. And we're breaking down all kinds of stuff on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We are telling the tale of liberty like nobody's business. And last hour, we talked about Biden's unconstitutional executive orders, 30 of them in 48 hours. White House lists hundreds of Trump's accomplishments. We listed several of them as well. But is Trump derangement syndrome a real mental condition? I think the answer is yes. You got the never Trumpers, the always Trumpers, and then the rest of us, you know. You got the importance of Congress and how to get a constitutional Congress. We didn't really get the how-to on the constitutional Congress enough, Eldon. Let's start there for a quick second. How the heck do we get one of those, man, with vote fraud and people completely ignorant all around us? And, man, is it even possible, sir?
Well, you bring up vote fraud, and certainly that would be a priority beyond that, because, of course, if we're going to elect a constitutional Congress, we've got to be able to have confidence in the voting. So that's certainly a thing. And fortunately, John Birch Society is putting together, we're going to have tools and all kinds of things to help people, probably for the first time in our history, the John Birch Society over 62 years, to really push back on these things that have undermined our voter integrity. But I like to tell a brief story about, you've heard of Kristi Noem from South Dakota now, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, sir.
So when I was living there in South Dakota, she was congresswoman at the time. And she came to town, and she did her presentation, this PowerPoint on how basically the spending at the federal level was unsustainable. And everybody nodded their head and said, thank you, Kristi Noem, for fighting for us. You're the only sane one in Congress, and everybody else is just bonkers. And then the question and answer period started. Congresswoman Noem, what are you going to do about funding my pet project? Congresswoman Noem, I'm concerned about this losing money. Can you make sure that it increases funding? And so there was this kind of disconnect, it seemed like, with the people. They wanted their congressional representative to talk the good talk, but when it came down to action, they wanted them to do the opposite.
Yeah, they want a 4th of July politician.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, very good way to put it. Our reaction could be, okay, let's go criticize Kristi Noem or whoever it is. So let's go bash her. But really, Congress is a reflection of us, the voters. If we want somebody like that to talk the good talk and then sends us the bacon, brings home the bacon, that's what we'll get. But if we insist that they follow the Constitution, that means we have to understand the Constitution, then they'll vote accordingly. So we've got to have an educational effort in the congressional districts to make sure that there's a constituency that's going to support somebody when they stand up for the Constitution, when they say, you know what, Congress doesn't have any business doing that. I know you'd like to have it, some of you, but I'm not going to vote for it, or what have you. So that's what we've been working on, with the John Birch Society. Basically, it means we've got to organize and educate the voters on especially how their congressional representatives voted with regard to the Constitution. Right now, we've got something called the Freedom Index, which I recommend everybody go to thenewamerican.com, click on Freedom Index, and you can download the PDF of the current one. You can also go back, I think it's the 1999 or 1997, and see how all these congressional people voted in the past. And that's really helpful, especially when they're running for president and they've been in Congress. You can see how they voted. And whether they're blowing smoke or actually the real deal, you might say.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is critical. Sheriff Mack, do you want one of those 4th of July politicians?
We have a lot of them. Sounds like a quote from Thomas Paine, the summer soldier and sunshine patriot, and we have a lot of those too. I really think you have something there because Governor Noem is probably the best governor in the entire country, but people have been so dumbed down and brainwashed that they have no insight and no knowledge whatsoever as to what the proper role of government is. And Kristi Noem has actually come out with that and said, no, we don't have the authority to shut you down. And there's a lot of people in her state that don't understand that there is a principle of liberty that governors are not allowed to violate, even if it's for your, quote, own good. And so I'm really anxious to see more governors fall in line with the principles of liberty, but I wouldn't hold your breath because the dumbing down and brainwashing has pretty much taken over.
Don't say that, Sheriff. And I'll tell you why I don't want you to say that, because we need to remember, even though it looks grim, I'll be the first to agree with that. The fact is, though, we the people, still, whether we understand this or not, and we need to make sure we understand this, we still have the power and the authority. Okay, just because they obliterated checks and balances vertically and horizontally in America.
Right.
You know, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, you know what? They derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, which means us. And we are still the under God sovereigns. And government only has whatever power we have given to us by God as sovereigns that we allow government to have. In other words, government derives its just power from us. That means that they can't just do whatever they want. So it looks bleak. I get it. And I don't disagree. But at the same time, we've got to realize, you know what? Who we are. We still have a godly heritage as the sons and daughters of God. That's a biblical statement. We still have opportunity and obligation. And with blessings come responsibility, Eldon.
Yeah, and really it takes people getting involved. It takes people educating themselves and organizing to educate others. In the congressional district, if you have 200,000 votes that you can swing, if you have the ability to do that, basically that means that you're choosing who becomes the next congressman, congresswoman in that congressional district. We found in the past with the John Birch Society that if you have even 500 people in a congressional district working in a concerted action to educate the voters on good principles of government, how their congressional representatives stack up to that idea, then you are able to actually have a constitutional-minded representation in Congress. Obviously, we need more of that right now, but that's something that that they can't overcome with big money. They can't overcome with just a bunch of rhetoric and a bunch of advertisement among the people. If the people are sufficiently educated, they will be able to see through the rhetoric. And that's something that's quite powerful.
Now, I mentioned many times, Eldon, and Stuart Rhodes agreed with me on this yesterday, and I want to get your take and Sheriff Mack's take. You know, we always want to go the furthest away from the people to get the answer sometimes. We want the 9-robed judges to save the elections. We want Donald or some president to save the elections or somebody in Congress or in a state. We want to go all the way to the governor or the state courts. Or, you know, we always go to the least, the smallest group of people the furthest away from the government. I don't know why we do that, but we seem to do that often. We seem to want somebody else to solve our problems for us. But to solve the election issue is very easy. There are 175,000 precincts in America. And if everybody went to their own local small precinct, it's the government that's closest to the people, and said, listen, in our precinct, we're not going to accept, you know what, ballot voting via mail, because it jettisons our precinct entirely. It skips it. We're not doing that. We're going to demand that we can count the vote locally in our precinct. We're going to make sure that it can be done transparently, not electronically, where the wizards of tech can, you know, manipulate things. We're going to literally count our votes manually in a transparent, open way where people can see them. We're going to have vote counters who swear under the penalty of perjury they're doing their very best to get it right. We're going to have vote watchers from all sides of the aisle, whatever that means. In other words, some say bipartisan, but I want nonpartisan. And we're going to have vote watchers, and we're going to verify our, you know what, our count. We're going to send it up the chain, and we're going to make sure they get it right precinct by precinct. And I think that's the only way we can solve the election fraud problem, because that is where the rubber meets the road in elections. That's where my vote is actually, well, it used to be taken before mail-in vote fraud happened. When we get back, let's hear from you guys on this topic.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right,
go on. Take her hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right. Raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
Yeah.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
And the reason that I say we ought to go to the local level to the precinct, ladies and gentlemen, is because that's the government that's closest to the people. It's also the government that could let us see what's going on with the votes in a meaningful way. The average precinct, I don't know if you know this, but has about 800 voters in it. And, you know, we only get anywhere from, what, 20 to 40 or 50% voting oftentimes, maybe even up to 70 or 80%. But you're only talking about, you know what, 600, 800 at the most votes per precinct. That should be very easy to count in a single evening. If you had five, or just say you had eight vote counters, and then you had eight watchers, you know, two from each segment of society or whatever, and they were all under the penalty of perjury, you know what? Each one would only have to count about 100 votes. It could literally happen so fast it would boggle your mind. This is the simplest way, but whenever I bring it up, everybody just goes, yeah, it's a good idea. It'll never happen. Next. And, you know, if we have that attitude, if we're not careful, we're going to be a good idea on America. We can never make it happen next. We have got to have, look, our founding fathers expected us to be engaged and involved in protecting our liberty. And if we don't jealously guard our liberty, who will? If we don't jealously say, you know what, we gave you this authority and you better use it wisely or we're taking it back and insist on it, who will? Okay, so these principles are, in my opinion, simple and clear. That is, I think, where we have to go if we truly want to get, you know, those who serve us, who will keep their oaths of office, et cetera, Eldon. That's the only real way that I can see it happening. Your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. One of the points that in one of our videos, Overview of America, it makes is very good. It says, the essence of freedom is the proper limitation of government. Now, when it comes to voting, the proper limitation of government means that we at least should have basic safeguards that the election is what it says it is, a legitimate representation of the will of the voters. And if we don't have that, then, of course, we don't have the proper limitation of government. We've got some other corrupted form of that, and voting, the process becomes just another form of revolution. That's what we don't need. So the left always says that they imply that the essence of freedom is being able to vote and to, you know, choose with, you know, basically democracy. That's not real accurate either, but certainly elections are important. And if we're going to have election integrity, certainly we need to get rid of something like ballot harvesting, where people go to your door and say, hey, you haven't turned in your absentee ballot yet. Can I help you out with that? Or mailing everybody a ballot, when that just makes it very difficult to recognize whether or not there's a good voter rolls, because dead people and people that have moved have gotten ballots, and then who knows who cast those ballots.
All right, so what does the JBS suggest we do to demand election integrity? I've given you my idea, sir.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple things that we certainly agree with. If you go to jbs.org, click on Act Now, there's on federal alerts, there's one. The federal alerts say, okay, ask your congressman to get rid of the Help America Vote Act, which pressured all these local precincts and things to get all these voting machines when they didn't know the security of them. Also, the Motor Voter Act, as it's commonly called, to repeal that because it forces the state to register people to vote when they get their driver's license and apply for public assistance. So that's something to avoid. On the state level, of course, it would be some of these other things that we've talked about, and getting rid of same-day voter registration, early voting, things of that nature. So I'd certainly encourage people to go on there and read more of the details. There's kind of a longer list on the state level. Not having online voting, of course, we wouldn't want that, right? Making sure that we vote at the precinct level, that's actually counted and posted publicly, you know, right at the precinct, rather than going to some central place to be counted and unobserved. We've got to be able to have the ability to observe the counting of ballots in a meaningful way. So all of those things would be an improvement. And just little by little over the last 40 years, those things have been chipped away. So there's all these different, you might say, holes in the bucket that leak out and make for a corrupted election and opportunity for corruption.
Amen to that. Sheriff, do you want to add to this? I think there's a lot we can do, but, you know, people have got to get engaged, my brother.
Well, I think it's one mistake that a lot of us have made is that we say by the consent of the governed, and people start thinking, oh, good, they're supposed to do whatever I say. They're supposed to do whatever we want. They're supposed to give us stuff whatever we want, whenever we want. And that's not what it says at all. It says deriving their just powers. In other words, their lawful constitutional powers, and the consent of the governed can never go outside that. As a matter of fact, if the people ask their public officials to do something outside the Constitution, we cannot do it.
And the point there is, hey, even if the wolves want the sheep for dinner, that's a no-no.
Exactly correct.
All right, because that's what a republic is. Democracy says they can do what they want if they have the majority. A republic says, wait a minute, no, hold on, there's moral law here, and there are checks and balances here, and you don't just have unbridled ability to do whatever you want just because you think the majority or the will is with you. There are checks and balances on everything that we hold dear. All right. Anyway, I wanted to mention that because I think we really need to understand what is our role. And Stuart Rhodes and others have been saying we've got to prepare and work at the local level. Nobody's going to protect us physically or our elections or anything else without our direct, clear involvement. All right. Should we or will we ever give Joe Biden credit for anything? Kind of an interesting question for conservatives, isn't it, Sheriff?
Yeah, that's a real good question. I've been thinking about that for a long time because he's been there like 45 years or so. And,
oh, longer.
And I've tried to see. Yeah, and I've tried to see what he's done. And it's basically what he's doing right now, destroying all the good that we've had erected the last 4 years. He's destroying the Constitution. He's destroying unity, which he's called for. What is he doing? What has he done once to create unity or to exercise some sort of semblance of trying to unify us? Unifying means you're bringing everybody together and listening to all sides. I have never seen him do that once.
Very scary. Is there anything we can give Joe Biden credit for, Eldon?
Well, I did think of something. The other day, Joe Biden was asked if what his position on impeachment was, and he said that's something for Congress to deal with, which is actually constitutionally correct. He didn't, you know, fan the flames and put gasoline on the flames at the very least and say, you know, I think we ought to throw out or, you know, convict Mr. Trump. So that's at least, you know, something. Although I'm sure if he were in the Senate, he'd vote to convict Trump of all of this nonsense that they're accusing him of. But so that's something.
Hey, can you think of anything, Sheriff?
I think that was a stretch. But because I'll tell you, he could have done the other way and said, look, Trump is gone. This is not necessary. It's a little bit overkill and beating a dead horse. And we need to get on to taking care of the business for the American people. I would have liked to have seen that. I'm glad he didn't come out with a knife and want to help him. But that's probably the only time he's ever called it correctly. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen him take the high road and say, look, we got rid of Trump. We won. And why don't we let him go off into the sunset? But no, he didn't do that either.
Well, now the question is being asked, believe it or not, even by some Democrats, hey, will Joe Biden pardon Donald Trump? And even Democrats, some of them are saying yes.
No, he won't.
Biden says that he won't, by the way.
Well,
be very surprised if he did.
I would be shocked if he did. However, you know what? The only article of impeachment that they've got now is that Trump created an insurrection at the Capitol. In other words, he created violence or whatever. I don't believe that sticks, though. I don't believe there's any evidence whatsoever that Trump is responsible for the violent acts that occurred. And so, you know what? What's going to happen if they impeach Trump, convict him on the impeachment? He's already out of office, so that won't matter. But does
they can't convict him.
They can't?
No.
Why?
The votes aren't there. They don't have enough.
Ah, you think? The Republicans will sell you out in a second, buddy. They'll sell your mother down the river, Sheriff. Hang tight now. Let's talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
A TV icon passing away. Former CNN host Larry King died this morning in an L.A. hospital at the age of 87. King hospitalized weeks ago after getting the coronavirus. No cause of death revealed. He hosted Larry King Live for 25 years on CNN until 2010, but that didn't even account for half of his 63-year career that spanned radio, television, and the Internet. President Biden sharing a grim COVID forecast. He says yesterday the U.S. could have another 200,000 COVID deaths over the next few months. That would bring our death toll to over 600,000. Meanwhile, his latest plans for economic relief focused on the poor. Biden yesterday signing two executive orders, one expanding food assistance, the other calling for stimulus checks for those who don't make enough to file taxes. He says his relief plan will get us back on track quicker.
With our American Rescue Plan, our economy would return to full employment a full year faster than without the plan.
Biden adds how we respond to this crisis is a reflection of our values, and we have to act now. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I'd have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50, and, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Less than a week into his term, President Biden's policy is already leading to a lawsuit. Tim Berg has more.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit Friday to block President Biden's new order halting almost all deportations for the next 100 days, accusing the new administration of overstepping executive powers. Paxton's lawsuit is one of what's likely to be a stream of litigation against Mr. Biden's early moves. Former President Trump faced a similar swarm of lawsuits from Democrat-led states during his term, particularly on immigration matters. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
As for former President Trump's legal issues, Democrats are apparently facing an uphill fight to get Trump convicted in his upcoming impeachment trial. It would take 17 Republican senators to join all 50 Democrats to convict Trump, but CNN reports only a handful of GOP senators may do so. The trial is set to start February 9th. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, believe it or not, Eldon Stahl with me, Richard Mack with me. Believe it or not, Senate leaders are now agreeing to a delay the trial of Donald Trump. The plan would put off the, quote, historic proceeding till February the 9th. Is that an effort to eventually wiggle out of this thing and push hard to make sure that no one really looks into vote fraud? And now that that's behind us, no one's talking about vote fraud, really, at least on a national level, where it might, grow legs or sprout wings. Now they're going to back off and go, well, Donald's an idiot. But, hey, he didn't lock up Hillary. We better return the favor there, gentlemen. Is this an attempt to do that? What do you think?
Hard to know. I think it's probably can be used by the opponents of convicting Trump to try to drum up votes, is to have enough time to do that. I personally hope that this trial drags on and on for months, in a sense, because in the House, they never had any committee hearings, no testimony, nothing.
Of course not. They don't need that. He's a criminal, man. Shut him up. Put him away. Come on.
At the time, they're saying, oh, he's such an existential threat. We've got to move on this just within days and impeach him and send these articles over to the Senate, on and on. Of course, none of that was the case. But if the chance is given to present evidence and cross-examine and things for, and this drags on for a while in the U.S. Senate, I think it's going to reveal that there's absolutely nothing of substance to the accusation.
Well,
that
and
Trump
what it might do, though, is it might bog down the Senate and bog down Joe Biden so much that Joe Biden changes his mind and pardons him, and or the Congress critters get they start to expend too much political capital on it. And they might jettison the plan and say, you know, we appreciate this, but man, it's going to make us look horrible in history. We're going to pay the payback has already started with the abuse that they've been given to Donald Trump already. But here's the question for you. Is Trump guilty of a single charge of incitement of an insurrection for his alleged role at the U.S. Capitol? That's a very serious question that we the people need to kind of think about. Sheriff?
Well, yeah. I've listened to the things that Trump said during his speech, and he did invite the crowd and suggest that they go over to the Capitol. But he never suggested that they break the windows, go in, riot, tear up everybody's offices, nor anything of the sort. As a matter of fact, anybody who thinks he did is either a liar or an idiot. Because what would Trump hope to gain by saying, yes, go over there and tear up the U.S. Capitol? That'll get our message out to these people, and it'll save my election.
And over the last 4 years, if I was an attorney pleading for Donald Trump or in behalf of Trump, I would say, look, over the last 4 years, the only people that have been committing violence for the most part are extreme wackos on the right and on the left. There's good people on both sides. President Trump tried to highlight this reality and calm everything down by saying there's bad guys and good guys on both sides. They slaughtered him for it. But over the last four years, he's been talking about being the rule of law president, being the guy that wants to settle everything down and have peace. And so I would submit to you that the last 4 years stand as a testament against the suggestion that he incited a riot and or an insurrection.
Oh, totally. But I also totally agree with Eldon on that. Trump could make this so onerous and so boring and just delay and delay and delay. Have this go on for months and months. I mean, for the next 6 months, he could just tie up Congress in this thing. And that would play into his hands.
And we could help make that happen as well.
Oh, yeah, because I think it has to go back. It would have to. I think the Senate and his attorneys would say, "There's nothing that the House did properly on this, and first you got to send it back. We don't mind the impeachment, but let's make sure the House does it correctly first."
Well, and when you send it back, you guys are going to have to debate it. You guys are going to have to not just drop this line that said Donald was possibly involved in a maybe an insurrection alleged thing. You got to deliver along with your article of impeachment evidence to why you voted in the affirmative to send it to us in the first place. We expect you to deliver this indictment, if you will, or this impeachment with evidence, and they haven't done that either.
Well, they don't, and it's a farce, and the whole thing is going to. And if he can present that, and not only that, when he gets in there, he can show all the comments by the left, governors and others, who promoted violence during the last 6 months in Portland, Seattle, New York, and
by
and
the
so
way,
on.
Those comments from the left, Maxine Waters, literally attack everybody that's conservative in restaurants and everywhere. And Barack Obama in 2008 saying we're going to raise a citizens' army. You use the word army there. I don't know, that gets pretty militant there, buddy. Okay, and they can use, and that's why I kind of think they're talking big now. But eventually, I think they'll probably back off this one, Sheriff. I don't know how
Democrats
it'll be sidestepped, but they will.
Democrats better be careful what they ask for, because they might just get it, and they're not going to like it at all.
Well, and what's going to happen to the people? I'm not agitating or pushing for any violence, but what are the people going to do if the Senate literally, through their hypocrisy, convicts Trump on this, and then they, you know, say you're subject to criminal proceedings? Because they're not just saying he was a bad guy and people thought about what he did and did bad stuff. They're literally saying, is Trump guilty of a single charge of incitement of insurrection? That's a different bar, sir. That isn't the same as saying, hey, did Donald stir people up and they went and busted up a couple of things? We're talking insurrection. They're talking about constitutional repercussions here.
Right.
Eldon?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one thing, of course, if this drags on is it will delay or stop Congress from doing other bad things, which they probably have in mind to do.
So if you can avoid that, then, okay, get them talking about impeachment and all this evidence supposedly that there is or lack thereof. And let's expose these people for who they are.
Yeah, I got to put that dude on C-SPAN and tie up the nation and, you know, this for months and months and months. That's what they usually do or oftentimes do. I think we need to step back with a little bit of civility here to everybody and say, you know what, folks, I get that you're frustrated. I get that you feel like your side's been wronged. Whatever side you stand with, you feel like your side's been wronged. But you know what? There are ways to come together. And as Dr. Scott Bradley pointed out on the broadcast with me, I think yesterday, he said this, you know, if we're going to come together on anything, it should be we come together on our oath. Our oath to uphold the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. We don't have to come together on anything else. We can be kind and respectful and disagree, but on that, we swear oaths to come together, and that's what we must do. Do you want to respond to that, Sheriff? I thought it was a pretty good comment.
Yeah, I like that, and I think that goes back to what you said at the beginning, where we've started this pro-civility website and push. And we want to make that a movement that goes across the country, that if you really are going to say you're for unity, if you're going to really say that you're for civility, then let's see it. I mean, if it's just that you want civility for your side, well, then we're never going to have civility. We're never going to have unity. If everybody has to come to your side, like Hillary Clinton said, then how is that unity? And I totally agree. Every one of you take an oath to the Constitution. Is there anybody that keeps their word on both sides? Maybe that would be a place to unify.
Well, and that's the whole point he was making, is that, look, we already agree. We've already unified on that, at least unless you break your oath, haven't we?
Yeah, well, they do that every day. Right. So,
Eldon?
Yeah, definitely. That's Congress is basically it's dominated by the partisanship right now. So people think in terms of partisanship often more than they do about whether or not the Constitution allows this or that. But certainly if we could insist that they honor their oath, that would be something to unify around. The thing that Biden is pushing for as far as unity reminds me of this meme I saw with it had Thanos from the Avengers movies, you know, and he says, now that I'm president and after I've obliterated half of humanity, I'd like to call for unity. This is kind of the approach that seems to be taken here. Not exactly something in good faith.
Amen to that reality check. All right, this is an interesting new poll that just came out that I want to bounce off you guys. Speaking of civility and how we go about this and everything else, listen to this. A majority of Americans see their fellow citizens as the biggest threat to America's way of life. That's according to a CBS News poll. When we get back, we got two topics to finalize. One, this idea of the majority of Americans see their fellow citizens as the biggest threat to their way of life. What do you think of that comment? What do you think is the biggest threat to our way of life? And then we're going to talk about Richard MacMaid, the Christian Science Monitor. You got to dig that, or do you? We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, so according to CBS NBC poll, the majority of Americans believe that, well, their fellow citizens is the biggest threat to America's way of life. Sheriff, you first. What do you think of that?
The propaganda scheme that's been working with the media.
Okay, so you think that's propaganda?
Yeah, I think some of it is. I think it's also the distrust that has been put out there since all this violence started. Because I don't even think that is close to the truth. What I think is the truth is the division between the Democrats and the Republicans and the hate that they've caused and the hate that they've promoted and the fear-mongering that they've perpetrated on the American people. The fear-mongering, we always know, we've known that it always works, especially people in the media and government both. When they get together, they can make black look white and white look black, and the American people will look up at a pure white cloud and say, man, that cloud is black. Because of the fear-mongering and the propaganda schemes and the brainwashing, that will happen.
All right. What do you think the biggest threat is?
I think it's the federal government.
All right. Eldon, you're up. What do you think is, what do you think of the statement that, hey, your fellow citizens are the biggest threat to your way of life? That's what the majority of Americans believe, according to the latest poll. Sheriff Mack thinks a lot of that's propaganda. But what do you think of that, number one? And number two, what do you think the biggest threats are?
Yeah, I would agree with Sheriff Mack. A lot of that is the propaganda, kind of agitating the people against each other to distrust. It kind of brings to mind, though, another thing. I read the book The Law by Frederick Bastiat a while back, and he was trying to rebut the socialists at the time in 1850 in France. But he said that basically in society we have three different choices of how we're going to live. Nobody plunders anybody. Everybody plunders everybody, or some people plunder other people. So which way are we moving with that if we're moving toward democracy and socialism in the United States? I think we're moving towards everybody plunders everybody, and we're starting to see that, especially with these stimulus types of things. If we just, you know, basically use the government as a way to transfer wealth and all that, that's not healthy.
Amen to that. Now, Richard Mack basically said that it was propaganda. And I think he's right. You got basically a CBS news poll. And I think that CBS is interested in propaganda for sure. So to me, it all depends on how the questions were asked and everything else. But I don't think your neighbor is your enemy. I think that's a lie. And I think that just shows how well government, the mainstream press, has done their work to create us all into panic and fear and have us pitted against our neighbors and stuff like that. I think, personally, the biggest threat to the American people is this idea that, we can look to government for everything and not God. Okay, the only reason government would be the biggest threat is if we give government that much power by looking to government instead of God. I believe that's the biggest threat we face.
Yeah, there's a lot of threats. I would say morality, the lack of morality and the breakdown would be a very large threat to our republic. certainly the growth in government and the machinations of people that I would call them conspiring or conspirators against our liberties. That's a very large threat. And, of course, part of their tactic has been decreasing morality among the growth of government, the federal government. So I guess it's hard to say exactly what's the biggest threat, but all those things are interconnected.
Yeah, as Kirk Crosby would say, it's a target-rich environment, baby. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
All right, the good Sheriff Richard Mack makes the Christian Science Monitor. We want to talk about this, Sheriff.
Well, it was a huge article, and the article was all about the police, law enforcement that went to the state capitol for the problem there, for the raid, the riot, whatever you want to call it, the violence. They pointed it out that there were sheriffs and law enforcement on both sides, and kind of like the badge versus the badge thing. And then they brought up some truth, and I don't even know where they got this, because they didn't call me. They did not get this directly from me. It almost sounds like the interview I did with the German newspaper I told you about out of Frankfurt. But it says this: among those who didn't go to Washington last week was former Sheriff Richard Mack of Arizona's Graham County, the founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Now they're quoting me. I was browbeat for not going, but I just had a bad feeling about it, says Mr. Mack. The bottom line is, a lot of people are frustrated in this country, and I understand that frustration. And that frustration comes from both Republicans and Democrats making a mockery of our Constitution. But I will never support violence. And my message remains the same to all police and all military. Keep your oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. That's how we will fix this problem and restore peace. And for the Christian Science Monitor to be that correct and to tell the truth, even though they interview some self-appointed expert about this whole thing afterwards that kind of denounces the constitutional sheriff movement, that it's kind of dangerous. Yeah, you know, people who disdain our Constitution are always afraid and want to promote that propaganda that the Constitution is to be feared, or officials and sheriffs in this country that support the Constitution are somehow dangerous to America. See, but I still really appreciate the Christian Science Monitor. I've been interviewed by them several times. I read that quite a bit in my political science class in college. But they are very left-leaning, and I really appreciate their honesty in that report about me and about the CSPOA and about how we feel about violence and what the solution is. And I really, really like the article.
Now, I'm a little disappointed, though, that they didn't call you to get a little more detail and clarification, et cetera. Because then you would be able to say, you know, we're working on, believe it or not, a call for civility. Plan. And I wrote an article. I'm not saying I'm important in the CSPOA, but I am the operations manager. I'm involved day to day, probably more than anybody else. And I would say this, you know, I wrote an article in 2015 called A Clarion Call for Civility. We've been calling for this for a long time, Sheriff. This isn't like Johnny come lately. Oh, Biden's calling for unity. So now we're going to call for this. We've been at this for a long time. I wrote my article literally 6 years ago, sir.
Yeah, I remember your article, and I think you ought to resurrect it and put it on your show and on your website, and let me put it on our website, and let's get it out there.
Amen. Anyway, I bring that up because I think it's critical that people understand what we're calling for, what we're doing, and then they can understand that we are not a threat, and let them think for themselves and evaluate the points that we're making and the solutions we are providing. I think that's really, really important. Before the end of the hour, I want to mention this. Not only do I want to give a shout out to the Christian Science Monitor, thank you. And I think that they ought to interview some people surrounding Mac. Okay, what is it like to work with Richard Mack day in and day out every day? You know, is he a threat or a concern? And I think those who know Mac best, who have looked him in the eye and been able to shake his hand and everything else, can clearly tell you what's on his mind and can clearly tell you what he's been doing and advocating for. The CSPOA just wrote, now listen carefully, the CSPOA just wrote right before you know, the capital event or whatever you want to call it, right? An article that says, let us do nothing to play into their hands. Let's allow for a peaceful transfer and then be ready to create constitutional remedies at the local level. The CSPOA has always taken a nonviolent approach regarding the movement for freedom. It doesn't get simpler and more clear than that, Eldon.
Yeah, and John Birch Society has also wanted nonviolence, never advocated, let's go pick up our guns and storm on Washington or something like that. That's always been just a terrible tangent for people to get involved in because it just goes nowhere. That's not a productive way of activism to do that.
Now, Eldon, are you aware that the CSPOA got death threats for the peace press release?
I didn't know that. That's very unfortunate. It kind of in good company, at least, because when Kennedy was shot, people were accusing the John Birch Society of instigating that, and the brick was thrown through the window, and there was bullet holes going through the office down in Phoenix at the time, back in the '60s. So they'll try to incite people against anybody that's good and trying to uphold the Constitution.
It says the CSPOA is dedicated to finding and exhausting all peaceful means possible to restore liberty to our great country. We are asking for calm and that all Americans stay home from any rallies or protests on Inauguration Day. We certainly do not support any armed protests. Let us do nothing. Anyway, it goes on. But all I'm telling you is we got literally death threats and attacks for trying to put forth the olive branch of peace. And then,
yeah, how dare you?
Then we as Trump, to some degree, Trump supporters, we're not the never Trumpers. We're not the always Trumpers. We're the when Trump's right Trumpers, I guess you would say. Then we get attacked like that with threats of violence and death. Wow. It's amazing, Sheriff.
Yeah, it is. When my wife told me about some of those, because she was getting those during the day because I was off at some other meeting, it was really astonishing that it supposedly came from pro-Trump people that, were complaining, why aren't you supporting the violent overthrow of America because the election was just stolen? And so I don't support violence, and you promoting that is wrong and counterproductive, and Trump would probably tell you the same thing. Stay home and leave people alone, and let's fight for this in peaceful ways. This is a Gandhi movement, and I really love the movie Gandhi, and people need to watch that and then come back with us with some more reasonable solutions.
All right, there you have that, ladies and gentlemen. In the final seconds of the program, headline says, Joe Biden admits nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic.
COVID-19.
Wow. Yeah. Do you want to? I couldn't agree with that or disagree with that more, Sheriff.
He blamed Trump for 200,000 deaths, and now he's going to double that.
And he's going to say there's nothing we can do. There's plenty
we can do about it.
We can start by telling the truth, number one. Number two, we can start by opening up the economy so we don't trash the economy and become a socialist nation over it. There's a ton we can do, Sheriff. And to suggest there's nothing we can do, we can pray to God Almighty for protection and peace. But admitting we can do nothing to change the trajectory of the pandemic?
Yeah, Trump called for prayer and national prayer. Let me see Trump do that, or Biden do that.
Come on, Joe. Final word to you, Eldon.
Well, if there's nothing we can do, he seems to be trying to do a lot of things that are increasing his power in government. So why doesn't he just get off our back?
Yeah, why don't we just send him over? If there's nothing we can do, we don't need him, do we? All right, just saying. Thanks for being alongside for the ride, gentlemen. 2 hours of hard-hitting, hopefully educational talk radio. We do want to make a difference, folks. We do care about God, family, and country. We do want to protect life, liberty, and property. Eldon Stahl, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com, The Good Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and I, Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States.